Good morning, reptile entrepreneurs. The tagline of this podcast is making responsible and successful businesses in the reptile community. Today, I wanted to talk about what success means. The most common definition is financial, but it's much more than this. Welcome to an informal Thursday meditation episode, and that means we do more shooting the breeze and talking concepts and ideas. And today, I felt like I wanted to talk about the word success. I suppose if it's sitting in the tagline, I ought to talk about what I mean by it. Usually when we think of an entrepreneurial venture, we think of something that makes money. The definition of success that is most common is a business that produces enough profit to pay the bills and a couple of beach house investment properties. And if money was your focus, that would definitely be a good candidate for success. But there are other measures of success that I've run into, some of which I've planned for and some of which I've achieved against my will. I'm sure I could stoke up a fire, hand out some beers and White Claws, and we could all come up with a long list of other ways to measure success. For today, I think I'll settle on talking about financial success, personal growth, and personal mission. The first one we'll talk about here is the financial success. Although I do not consider financial success the only valid form of success for an entrepreneurial venture, it is the one we will talk about the most on this podcast, mainly because it's the most difficult, and it's what keeps experienced people deeply invested in the healthy growth of the community. Unfortunately, the community, or even just our culture in general, has a bit of an unhealthy view of money. "They are doing it just for the money" is meant as a slur against somebody that has, in some way, offended someone else. This phrase probably should be reserved only for people that treat reptiles as commodities and do not provide for their proper husbandry. By definition, a business must make money, and it must make enough to cover all business expenses and at least some of the personal expenses of the owner. That would be the bare minimum to be considered a side business. Otherwise, it's a hobby that happens to bring in some money to offset its losses. So we need to embrace that profit is the lifeblood of a business. It's not greedy to exchange your services and expertise for money. Every major people center in this world has a currency by which the mortgage is paid. Everyone needs to make money to pay for their lives. You must spend whatever time you need on the activity that will earn money to pay for the house you live in and the food you eat. And if you have a valuable skill or create a valuable product for the reptile industry, then it needs to be sold at a fair price. And I mean a fair price to you. So many people calculate product sales costs by the materials used and totally shortchange themselves on the time they invest, or the utilities, or the insurance costs, etc. Especially in the reptile industry, there is this undercurrent feeling that we should all be doing this because we love it. This is perpetuated mostly by people who don't want to pay that fair price. But until you can pay your mortgage off in goodwill points, money it must be. If this new venture is going to need to break even to survive, then charge what it costs to manufacture the product and maintain the business shell which collects the money, ships the product, and provides customer service. And make sure profit is in there as well. Otherwise, you will not be around long enough to be useful to the community. Since making profit is the challenge point, we will do a lot of focus on that in episodes coming up. But there are other forms of success, and if these are your goals, then they are just as worthy as profit. Here are two major examples. The first is personal growth. We humans have this drive to learn and get better at what we love. Some people will create content streams which may or may not have a financial component to them. A blog, website, YouTube channel, or podcast are contemporary forms of personal growth. The more you teach, the better you get at your chosen art. The Chameleon Academy podcast has been a passion project of mine for about 6 years now. Through that podcast, I've been able to talk to keepers, breeders, scientists, and veterinarians from around the world and have honed my husbandry closer to the naturalistic state. And there is almost no financial component to it. I do sell t-shirts, and my caging company benefits from my visibility, but the podcast is almost totally a financial loss. But would I consider it a failure? Absolutely not. It is one of my greatest successes. I have been involved with chameleons for 40 years now, and the last 6 have been the greatest as far as personal and community growth. I have pushed my understanding of the most complicated subjects to the point where I can now teach them. And this is the benefit of a content stream. You constantly have to push yourself and produce. You have to be in tune with the community you serve. It is a huge conduit for personal growth, even if your audience is small. As long as you keep going and using it as a vehicle to push yourself, it's amazing what you can do for your personal growth. That said, it doesn't hurt to monetize your content stream to help pay the hosting fees and equipment costs and all the other things that it takes to keep it running. In the podcasting world, we have a term called pod fade. That's where podcasts start strong, then run out of steam, and then just disappear. This can happen after a couple of months or a couple of years. It all depends on their personal life. In my podcasting career, I can tell you that some seasons have more than 52 episodes, and some have half that. What's going on? Well, it depends on what's going on with the part of my life that is making the money that puts a roof over my head. So even though my primary goal with the podcast is personal growth, monetizing it through sponsorships or selling t-shirts would put it as a financial contributor, and financial contributors are further down on the cutting block when figuring what can fit in a day's 24 hours. So although my measure of success for the Chameleon Academy podcast is not financial, I am aware of reality, and yes, you can now go to the website and purchase t-shirts. Believe me, when we are going over finances, and I have a line item as to how the podcast contributes to the household, the way we view the time I spend with the podcast changes. Just something for you to consider when you're thinking about your content stream. And yes, I will be discussing monetization for content streams. I have a special place in my heart for podcasters, YouTubers, and bloggers. And I would consider part of my success with this podcast I am doing right now is to help you monetize your content stream so it is a financial line item instead of a hobby that sucks up money line item. And to be fair, let's take a look at the other side. Adding a financial component to the hobby could easily make it no longer enjoyable. And if your hobby is 100% for relaxation, then there's a valid argument not to even consider adding a financial component. But consider that when push comes to shove, and there are more things taking your time than you have time, something has to go. If your reptile hobby brings in profit, then it is providing towards that roof over your head, and there's a much greater chance that it will survive the cut when you have to reduce what you are doing in your life. You know, just cut out golf, which is a money pit. Anything providing value to your bottom line, you are more likely to keep going, even when social media is disgusting you and you wonder if you really need this stress. So even if the financial component is not your main measure of success, consider whether you should add a financial component to at least help with the expense. But better yet, pay for itself. Or even better, add profit to the household income. And why do I keep harping on the monetization and not just let it be? Well, one foundation motivation for this podcast in the first place is to build a solid foundation to our reptile community. Yes, I do want you to be personally successful, no matter what that means, but I'm also trying to help with the process so the growth in the reptile community is filled with us from within. So just know that a major motivation of mine is to build the community because I'd rather our dollars go to people within our community. And the more of you that provide what we need, the more dollars stay in the community, and that's a good thing. Another measure of success is personal mission. Breeding projects take front and center for this one. Breeding projects are easy to monetize, but difficult to profit from, at least at this point in time. As imports dry up and breeders start charging what it costs to breed reptiles, including the time, utilities, and everything else, things will get better. But at this point, relatively few people can make breeding reptiles profitable, and even fewer do it as a full-time job. I'll definitely regularly cover this topic here, of course. In fact, next Monday, I'll be interviewing Josh Duvenbarger of Phantom Dragons about how he built a full-time business breeding bearded dragons. Breeding reptiles is a tricky business. It's one of those fields where anyone can get into it, but only a few are able to do it full-time. Most use breeding reptiles as a side job. It's kind of like acting. But there's a strong sense of mission behind a number of breeding projects. Success is often in the repeated breeding of the animal and keeping it represented in captivity, regardless of how the finances work out. With imports drying up, dedicated breeders are needed for species whose street value is nowhere near enough to cover expenses. So, personal mission will remain a strong measure of success in our community. So, those are my promised three definitions of success, but I think I need to add a fourth. And this is a little different because it's not going to go into the business plan, but it's probably just as, if not more important, than the others. That is life learning. There can be success in failure. And as I said, this is hardly the type of success that's in the original goal, but with every failure, you come away with experience. Starting a business takes a lot of moving parts to fit in just right. And there are external forces that you may have little control over. But these failures and setbacks teach valuable lessons. When do you cut bait? Meaning, how do you judge when it's time to close down the business attempt? And what did you learn about surviving as long as you have? At least, what did you learn about avoiding this in the future? Each venture you attempt, whether success or failure, adds to your knowledge and wisdom about how the world works. In the entrepreneur space, we have something called a pivot, where you change course when what you are doing isn't working. To a non-entrepreneur, it appears as if you are quitting or you are distracted and not able to stick with one thing. But most of the time, the entrepreneur has the entire playing field in their head, and it just isn't worth it to explain the whole plot, subplots, and world building of this movie to someone who waltzes in 45 minutes into the show and starts saying what they would do. The point is that, regardless of what the voices around you say, if something isn't working, then pivot. Do not stubbornly go down with the ship just to prove something to someone. Accept that what you tried wasn't giving you the results you wanted, and if you have determined that the chances are slim that you'll be able to turn it around, then change course. Pivot. And this is not failure. This is evolution in real time. This is the dance. Pivoting may be a disappointment because of what didn't work, but it can also be exciting for better opportunities to build something. It is normal to be both. And let it be both. This is part of the process we all go through. The bottom line is, you don't even get the opportunity to pivot if you stay safe in the bleachers. In the end, success is much more a mindset. It's a way of looking at life. In this podcast, a prime focus will be on monetizing your efforts. I want to expose you to multiple options for you to at least break even. If you are starting a business, let's make it healthy. If you are starting a content stream, then you need to build up your brand, but let's soon find a way that people who benefit can show their support. If you are a breeder, we'll work on streamlining expenses, increasing quality, and promoting exposure. So, is it all about money? Goodness, no. If it was, then the reptile world is probably not the best use of your time. I should go back to developing personal head-mounted theaters, and you should learn JavaScript coding or something. No, we are here because we love reptiles. Making money within the reptile community helps, but we are fully aware that, at least in the beginning, much of our paycheck will be in satisfaction, happiness, and other forms of compensation that are not accepted as mortgage payments. But it is an investment in your quality of life. So let's acknowledge that money is not everything, and that our business in the reptile world has a healthy component of passion involved. But within the walls of this podcast, let's also acknowledge the reality of the world we live in and how it works. A monetized content stream and a profitable business will stick around long term. For us to be strong as a community, we need long-term businesses and trusted digital mentors that can form the foundation. So, I don't want to waste more time than necessary explaining why it is okay and actually good for you to make money and profit as part of your activities here. Success for me and this podcast is for you all to stick around, continue to grow in your experience, and be there for the next generation. Money, good or bad, is a necessary part of life. And let's be realistic regarding its importance in what we dedicate our time to. Now, let's put this success word of ours in context. Everything has a life cycle. A business bursts onto the scene and is the biggest thing. It has a good run, and then for some reason, whether mismanagement or simply the changing of times, is no longer a viable business. I had a friend who was part of a cassette replication business. This is where they created copies of cassette tapes. Cassette tapes used to be the way music was sold. So his business of replicating cassette tapes for the music industry was running 24 hours a day. But when compact discs came on the scene, things changed. It was a well-managed business, but the infrastructure to work with compact discs is totally different. It is a total refresh of the business. The company went on for a number of years based on overseas business, which took time to switch over, but it was soon time to close the doors. Was it a failure? Of course not. It had its purpose, and then it had its time to say goodbye. Every product has a life cycle, some longer than others. You can say that it is a success if it returns more money than was invested into it, and that's an entirely valid measuring stick for a business investment. But money is not always the best measurement of success. Did that product that you never recouped the initial investment give you contacts that led you to your next job? Or a better supplier? All things we create have a life cycle. All have that flash of excitement, and somewhere along the way, it's time for the story to come to an end. It's time to dot the last period and move on to the next chapter. Sometimes it seems that it never really got off the ground, and maybe it shouldn't have even been started. But trying your idea and finding out it is not the right thing, or it's not the right time, or you just didn't have a critical component, is a necessary part of the discovery process. With entrepreneurial ventures, you are creating something new, and by definition, there is no roadmap that lets you know the way to go. You do not know. You can't know. It's a continual process of trying and testing. And whatever happens, that's not failure. It is life in motion. So don't let the word success or failure loom over your head. I'm not minimizing the consequences of being wrong about it. Heck, I'm still paying off the collapse of a business 20 years ago. And if I don't make enough to pay the bank each month, my house is on the line. So you will not find me handing out daisy tiaras for everyone to wear at the entrepreneur afternoon tea time. I'm living this real time in the real world just like you. Okay, if you're starting a YouTube channel, the consequences of it not taking off are not that high. If you want to invest in 3,000 iguana warming mittens to test the market, you may have some risk, but maybe not the house. But there comes a point in any of these ventures where a decision point is reached. Your YouTube channel is getting some decent ad money coming in, and you are pretty sure that if you quit your job and dedicate full time to it, that it could support you. Probably. I mean, most likely. I mean, maybe. And those iguana mittens just flew off the shelf. To supply the demand, you may have to either quit your job or bring on an employee. Both are huge moves. And the difference between disaster, with you being left with a second mortgage to pay off, and unbridled riches with you being used as an example in MBA courses as a genius, may come down to dumb luck of current events which you have no control over. There's no way to know the right answer. The global pandemic boosted businesses that may have been on the verge of closing their doors, and it ruined businesses that were trucking along quite nicely. We are all under dumb luck, good and bad. So, are you going to try it? Only you can decide the right answer, and I'm not going to be sanguine about this. If you have the entrepreneurial spirit, I want to encourage and facilitate you trying it out and finding success in the way that you define it. But I'm careful with encouraging people to be entrepreneurs. There is real-world risk involved with real-world consequences. I feel free to speak without asterisks and caveats on this podcast because people who would rather live a risk-averse life probably won't be listening to me, at least not for long. Success has many different forms. Be clear with yourself what success means to you. Success can be financial, personal growth, security, satisfaction. Whatever it is, this show is dedicated to helping you achieve it. Through my time in this community, I have had financial success, one pretty major financial crash and burn, personal growth, an incredible life save, frustrating disappointment, I lost thousands of dollars in a civil war on the other side of the world, and had a deep satisfaction from accomplishment. It really has been a roller coaster ride. So, am I a success? A failure? I think the only way to think you are a 100% success is to stop at a peak and then spend the rest of your years reminiscing about the glory days. But that doesn't seem like success to me. I think success is running the race, taking the highs and the lows, and living a life that wouldn't take too much adaptation to make for an interesting Hallmark movie. It doesn't have to be a blockbuster, but I'll settle for the audience to feel the passion, hide a tear or two, let their heart be warmed a bit, and leave the theater thinking life isn't so bad. I think that works for me. So what is success for you? It doesn't have to be any one thing, and it could be many. And you know, it can change as time goes by. My one thing to leave you with is don't let other people tell you what success should be. And don't define your success by what you think other people might think. Decide for yourself, with no obligation to share with anyone else. Do your own thing, add something new to our community, and clear a trail where there wasn't one before. Who knows what you'll find at the end of that trail? If it's a sheer drop cliff, don't worry. Pivot, and we'll name the cliff after you. I'd call that a win. So, thanks for joining me here today. It's good to parse out how we view things. I'd like to know what you think. Thursdays are open for conversation. What does this mean for you? Do you have any good pivot stories? And crash and burns. I'd love to hear crash and burn stories, at least the ones that you can laugh about now. Let me know. I'll be sharing my experiences, good, bad, crash and burn. So you may as well let me know I'm not alone. Email me, comment on the website blog, jog over to the Instagram account. Whatever suits you best. Well, my friends, let's raise our triple espressos and a toast to the dance. May we pivot, trailblaze, and build what hasn't yet been built until the music stops.